What's up, and welcome into another episode of Stacking Dubs. I'm your host, Chris Chin. Follow me on Twitter at Stacking Dubs. I know you came here for some sports, but we're going to start with the weather. Even though it was an 80-degree sunny day without a cloud in the sky here in Los Angeles, last night, was a bunch of rain. Even had to bring my handy-dandy umbrella out because the Warriors came to Crypto.com Arena and rained 26 threes, one off their franchise record of 27. They flooded Crypto Arena, sent the Lakers swimming. Warriors win 134 to 120. They're 8-1 in their last nine games. It ties them in the loss column with the Lakers for the ninth seed. Warriors control their own destiny as they own the tiebreaker with just three games to go. Also, the Kings lost to the Thunder last night, so now the Warriors are just 1.5 games back of the Kings. Well, actually one game back, but we're giving the Kings the tiebreaker. So effectively, 1.5 games back of the Kings. Very possible to still get that 8 seed or even better. We'll get into the playoff picture and the race a little bit more towards the end. But to recap this one, the Warriors started off hot from three and never cooled down. Steph finished 6 of 6 from three. Draymond made his first 5 three-pointers and had 10 assists. Klay Thompson had 27 points and 5 three-pointers. And Andrew Wiggins and Brandon Pajemski both reined in 3 threes of their own. And, well, it felt like this game was a little closer than it should have been given the shooting disparity. Lakers seemed to be making a comeback, and you kind of felt like, just has been the case all season, that the Warriors are going to struggle to hold on to this double-digit lead once their shooting cooled off. But it never did. Warriors shot over 60% from three on the game, never cooled off, and basically put this one away early fourth quarter. Great win for the Warriors, a much-needed win. Anthony Davis, LeBron James both came into this game with illness. LeBron ended up playing with flu-like symptoms. Anthony Davis, he sat out with nausea. I am not surprised. I'll preface this by saying I used to be a fantasy basketball owner of Anthony Davis in a dynasty league, I might add. So I've had him for many a year. Nothing drives me crazier than when Anthony Davis misses time. I think this is the 8th quarter that Anthony Davis has missed against the Warriors due to eye poke. He missed a couple quarters due to a kick in the groin. And now with nausea and illness. For the record, yesterday, I ate some expired protein powder and just had terrible stomach aches all day. Felt ill and nauseous of my own. But that didn't stop me from going to LA Fitness and still hooping it up, playing hard defense, and making an impact on my pickup team. So if LeBron and Chris Chin can do it, Anthony Davis, you got to be out there, man. The Lakers need you. Huge game. You got to power through your illness. I don't know how sick you are, but I think the Lakers and Lakers fans would have loved to see you out there. Anyways, back to the Dubs. This is why no one wants to play the Warriors in the playoffs. The Warriors, consensusly just seen as one of the best shooting teams of all time. Not as much specifically this year, but when you have the backcourt the Warriors do, when Draymond Green is shooting close to a career high in threes, he's shooting almost 40% from threes this season. This is a team that scares everybody. And in a league where 70% of the time, the team that shoots better from the three-point line wins, dating back to 2014, I believe is what I looked up, 70% of the time, that team wins the game. Well, the Warriors are going to win in that margin the majority of games, and that is why nobody wants to see Steph Curry and co. in the playoffs. Warriors defended great in this one, very just high energy, intensity, played with force. I thought they forced LeBron into tough looks all game. Sure, they gave up a little bit inside at times, but that Draymond Green, TJD pairing in the front court, and just the wing defending point of attack between Andrew Wiggins, Jonathan Kuminga was fine defensively in this one. Just, and Klay Thompson actually played great defense, was matched up one-on-one with LeBron for a lot of this one. Very good all-around team effort, and the Warriors are on the up. Also, Warriors, the free throw disparity in this one, only -3 free throw attempts, where you already know Lakers lead the league twofold in terms of free throws attempted. Warriors are basically inversely far behind second and third to last in terms of free throws attempted. To keep this one to minus three free throw margin, that's a win in itself. And we kept our turnovers to about 15, which is always our bugaboo. And we can keep it to 15 or less. That's a number the Warriors are aiming for. More specifically, I think there's a big correlation with winning when we can make more threes than turnovers in a game. On the season, Warriors averaged 14.8 made threes per game, averaged 13.7 turnovers. So we'll take it. We need that number to really just kind of maintain positive and skew positive. Anytime we have more turnovers than threes, we're fighting a big uphill battle. Well, Warriors are vibing up. We're feeling good. We got great momentum heading into the postseason. One of the reasons, especially as an old team, that it's surprising to see the Warriors really kind of peaking towards the end of the season. You would just think that at this point they'd be having tired legs, they'd be fading, they'd be kind of stumbling into the finish line here. But I think it's really been a result of this depth that we've had. It's been the strength and numbers approach. Even the guys that aren't quite in the rotation right now, they played big minutes earlier in the season, particularly if you're looking at like our rookies, right? Like if TJD, Pajemski's played over average 30 minutes per game for the entire season. Lately, TJD's played well over 20 minutes per game. You always have guys like Looney and Moody who are they're out of the rotation, but they'll come back and just fill key minutes in case of absences like Draymond Green missing. Looney will step in. If Wiggins is missing, Moody can step in. Kuminga can extend his minutes. This youth and this depth is something the Warriors haven't really had in a few years, and it's really paying dividends to keep our older veterans, their legs a little fresher, a little more spry. Definitely helps that Steph Curry and Wiggins were able to take a game off last game against the Jazz, get them right, get them a little fresher, and it showed in this one. Most specifically, I want to give props to Klay Thompson and his durability. Like I said, Klay was great in this one, came out hot again. He's really been carrying the load the last four or five games for the Warriors. He's playing his best at the end of the season, and we already know his injury history. The fact that he's there every day, he's playing amongst the most minutes on the Warriors this entire season and last season. I believe he led the Warriors in minutes last season. Usually, the drop-off that you see, in addition to a little performance, but after two major injuries, is you're typically going to have a lot of just recurring soft tissue injuries. You know, your calf, your hamstring, your hips, just anything will just kind of snowball from these past injuries. So credit to Klay Thompson and his rehabilitation, credit to the training staff and Rick Celebrini. They've done a great job getting him ready to play big minutes, and now he's been extremely effective at the very end of the season when the Warriors need it most. Klay is in the zone. He is cooking. I guess we can just call him Chef Klay for a little while. We'll call him Sous Chef Klay, Chef Curry, Sous Chef Klay, kind of like that together. What a combination in the kitchen. But nevertheless, his old legs are looking a little bit fresher than they had in past seasons, and we'll see if we can carry that into the postseason. And again, credit to our youth, credit to our depth, and credit to Steve Kerr for really managing these rotations, finding recipes that work, and at the same time, giving our players the amount of minutes that they need to blossom. We'll even call him Chef Kerr because he's been cooking up his recipes too. All right, enough of the kitchen cooking analogies. Warriors, I'm gonna make a prediction here, and that is that the Warriors win at least two road games in the postseason. And it doesn't seem like a lot, but if you think about it, you're going to need to win a road game to get into the playoffs. So I'm predicting that they're going to win one in the play-in, if not two. And so my prediction is essentially saying they're going to make it into the playoffs. They're going to get through this tough play-in. And then from there, I think they can win at least another game in a series. They've been great on the road, better on the road than at home this year. If they get into a series like, Minnesota or OKC, I love our chances to get a split in those first two games on the road. Chances are, that being how inconsistent we've been at home, we're probably going to split the games at home. And then we're really just looking at a 2-2 series with three to go, two of them on the road, get one more on the road there and find a way to win at home. And now you're upsetting a potential one or two seed in the playoffs. This is all said, with the assumption that we're not running into Denver in the first round, because then all bets are off, because Denver is a class above, in my opinion. But if it's an OKC, it's a Minnesota, I like the Warriors' chances to get into this postseason, into the playoff, and maybe making a little bit of noise. Going back to, we'll talk about Steve Kerr a little bit and just the rotations. And we've talked about the depth and how he's managed it, but he's throughout the season, but he's really trimming it down lately. What I've been seeing is that he has some key pairings, combinations that have been successful this year, all the as a result of all the tinkering and playing with just different lineups. We found our optimal combinations of players, and we're really trying to play those guys together to optimize our performance on the court. So the most obvious one, Steph and Dre, we've known for the longest time, Kerr will always keep those two together as much as possible for, we don't even need to get into it. He's also started to pair Wiggins with those two. You see less of Wiggins with a second unit, and you really start to see Wiggins really pairing with Steph and Dre as starter minutes, closing halves, and then obviously, starting and ending the second half together. And those three seem to really just kind of have that chemistry. Wiggins, as inconsistent as he has been, I love the idea of kind of giving him a little more consistency with Steph and Dre. Keeps him comfortable. He knows his role as a 3-and-D player there, can exert his energy on defense, and isn't ever relied on to be the number one scorer in any given lineup. Obviously, Wiggins gives you a little bit of spacing with that, especially because TJD has now entered the starting lineup as well. Speaking of which, Dre and TJD, well, we found that that combo defensively has been outstanding. It's been the biggest difference for why the Warriors have been on this hot streak towards the end of the year. The defense is as good as it gets in the NBA. We didn't know whether this would work offensively with two non-shooters, but when Dre is making 5 of 7 three-pointers, when the rest of the Warriors are providing spacing and Steph, Klay, and Wiggins in that starting lineup, now that lineup is effective enough to offset any offensive difficulties. To the bench now. So we're looking at when Steph's off the court, because that's what really needs to that's what has to be figured out, right? The bench unit tonight, Chris Paul, TJD, Klay Thompson, Jonathan Kuminga, and Brandon Podziemski. That unit of five in the third quarter finished that third quarter on a 10-0 run. And I really like it because it makes sense when you think about how each player kind of coexists with the others, right? So with Steph out, you need extra ball handling. So that's where you have Chris Paul and you have Podziemski in there. Both can handle, both can play make. It's tough when you only have one or the other, but that gives us two playmakers on the court. That being said, you also have two second best scorers on the court in Klay Thompson and Jonathan Kuminga. So now you're making up the scoring difference. You have in that lineup CP, who was plus 21 in this game, no big deal. 11, 6, and 9 assists. Great game for him on the low. Chris Paul paired with TJD is great. You got that pick and roll, you got the lob threat. Those two have worked very well together. Klay Thompson and Trace, we already know, are working extremely well together. We're trying to maximize their time, whether it's in the starting lineup or with this bench unit. Those two together are that in that pick and roll action is a great secondary action. And then with all those five, at any point you can answer Gary Payton the second in, because he fits with every lineup, depending on if the other team has a guy that needs a point of attack defender like GP to sort of lock him up, make life difficult, like D'Angelo Russell. Like last night, GP was very good at neutralizing him. He fits with any lineup, and just tip of the hat, GP block of the year on Rui Hachimura. Towards the end of the third, it was such a huge block that LeBron James stopped playing in the middle of the play, started walking towards the ref, just thinking that it had to have been a foul. Warriors leak out, ends up with a Klay Thompson three-pointer. I think puts up the Warriors up 17 at that point. Game is basically a dagger. That's basically the dagger ends the game, and it wasn't a foul. GP just swatted him up top. Great game by Gary Payton the second. Great to see you back with your full bounce. Well, Warriors, I just love to see it. As we're talking about bounce, GP is as springy as ever. Brandon Podziemski seems to be healed from that knee soreness that was kind of plaguing him earlier in the year. He looks active and energetic. He played great in this one. Wiggins is bouncy. He healed from that ankle injury last week and looks good. Steph Curry, likewise, also had a little ankle, but seems to be just fine now. And then we already talked about Klay Thompson with that extra burst, the durability, the explosiveness. to really carry this lineup and this and basically be the number two scorer consistently lately. Well, Steve Kerr, good job getting us to this point. I know you get a lot of slack, and there are always ways to improve, but just what we've done recently, I really do applaud the combinations that you're putting out there. I would agree most of the time with everything that you've done, including putting Steph Curry back in the game with 9:30 in this one. Usually he waits to 7 or 8 minutes left. Got him in there when this game was getting a little close. Good job getting Curry back in when you needed to. All right, let's look at the path to the 8 seed, and I guess we'll start with the 9 seed. So we control our own destiny for the 9 seed. If we win out from here, we stay ahead of the Lakers, the tiebreaker. We will have home court advantage against the Lakers. If we lose a game, well, the Lakers just have to win one, or to win all, and they will pass us. But let's look at the 8 seed. Let's get greedy here, guys. So ahead of us is first the Sacramento Kings. The Kings tomorrow have a huge game against the Pelicans, who are also who are 3 games ahead of us, but we have the tiebreaker with them. Let me back up because this gets confusing. So we play the King, or the Kings play the Pelicans, then they play the Suns, then they play the Blazers, which should be a win. We are essentially a game and a half back of the Kings. We need them to lose two of those games. So if they can lose the Pelicans and the Suns, Warriors win out, we jump them. Okay. To the Pelican situation, they're 3 games up on us, but we have the tiebreaker. So if they lose out and we win out, we pass them. They play the Kings, so one of those teams has to lose. Let's assume the Pelicans lose, then we play the Pelicans in 2 games, assume we beat them. Now the Pelicans have to beat the Lakers, which is also a very huge game for play implications. So it is very possible the Pelicans lose out and go 0-3. And the Warriors could pass them. Lastly, the Suns are 2 games up on us with the tiebreaker, which effectively means that we have to catch them for 3 games. They play the Clippers in LA either today or tomorrow. They just got blown out by the Clippers yesterday. So if they lose that, then they play the Kings. Somebody has to lose that game. And then they play the Timberwolves, who are the one are playing for the 1 seed right now. I would assume if they have anything to play for. And Karl-Anthony Towns should be returning soon. That is a very tough makeup for this tough schedule for the Suns. Very possible they lose all three. So there is a path. Warriors again. It all starts with us winning out. We have the Blazers coming up on Thursday, followed by a back-to-back with the Pelicans. Then we finish with the Jazz, who are a G League team at this point. Warriors should have no problem winning against the Blazers and Jazz. How do we ration ourselves on Thursday so that we have nice fresh legs on that back-to-back against New Orleans? You could say maybe we rest some veterans and just hope we beat the Blazers. Personally, I'm more of a fan of let's play everybody. Let's just get out and just dominate the Blazers. Everyone plays 2.5 to 3 quarters. We get up 20 and then we rest and we coast. Everyone stays sharp. We make sure we win and we get a little bit of rest heading into that game. So that is the path to the 8 seed, which would only take one win to get into the playoffs. Let's do that, and then we can talk about us winning our road games like I'm predicting. All right, guys, get some rest today, and tomorrow we'll be back at it again to start that back-to-back. I've been your host, Chris Chin. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time, peace, love, and stacking dubs.